Today's scripture comes from the Epistle of James. And James writes in the third chapter today, in verses 1 through 12, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. For we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. If we put bits into the mouths of horses, that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the tongue is also a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No. More can salt water yield fresh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, speak through me today. Give me the words that need to be said. Open our hearts to hear. Curve our hearts that need to be curbed. Bridle our tongues that need to be bridled. Bridle our thoughts when they need to be bridled. But open our hearts, Lord. Open our hearts to you and to the people that you love. Open our hearts to this world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a small child, I grew up in a household, if you will, of perhaps the old ways of disciplining children. And, well, I'm the oldest child, and I'm the only girl. And believe it or not, I have a type A personality. And my mouth would get me into trouble a lot. Oh boy, would it get me into trouble a lot. And in fact, I was considered a bit bossy by my brothers. I was considered a bit bossy by my parents too. And it would sometimes get my mouth into a world of trouble. As I got older, some of my friends would even call me brash and blunt. And it took me a while to figure out that sometimes I would get further if I learned to speak with sweetness than I would with being brash and blunt. Now, I grew up on a farm. In fact, I grew up riding horses and grew up around cattle, grew up around pigs, and never had chickens until I had my own farm because my dad absolutely hated chickens. Fowl was fowl, according to him. And so when I grew up around the cattle and the horses and so forth, I was on a horse before I could even walk. But I learned all the different things we had to do to keep horses. I learned all the different things, and Dad would break all of his own horses. So as Dad was breaking horses, a lot of the time I was the one who was the first one on the horse because I was little and I was light. And I was, well, I could jump fast too. But we had different kinds of bridles. Some of the bits that you would use for a bridle, and a bit is what would go into the mouth of a horse, would be used to be able to steer the horse. And you use the different bits because the horse would be able to adjust and respond to the different kinds of bits. Some bits were the whole way straight across, and they didn't buckle in the middle. Some bits did buckle in the middle, and hence buckle bits or snapple bits. There are different kinds of names for the many different kinds of bits that there were. And so when you had those different kinds of bits and so forth, you had to make sure that the horse responded to them and you weren't hurting the horse. You didn't want to hurt the horse. You just wanted the horse to be able to do what you wanted it to do. That was part of being able to teach it, work with it, get it to do all the things you wanted it to do. You didn't want to hurt your animal, right? You wanted it to work with you. Well, it's the same thing you want to do with children, even if they have a smart mouth. You want them to grow up to be productive adults. So you teach them the right way to speak to people. You teach them how to ask nicely, how to nicely have a conversation. And as they get older and put in leadership positions, you teach them how to be a leader and not be bossy. There's a difference, right? You can be a crab apple, or you can lead. There's all kinds of things there. In our current climate, And many of you can think about this. We've all had people we've worked for. We've probably all had good bosses. And we've probably had some not so good bosses in our lifetime too. We've probably had some good teachers in our lifetime. Maybe some not so good teachers too. The thing is, when we are teachers, we're held accountable for what we teach because we are teaching and molding somebody. Even if we're teaching adults, we're teaching and molding somebody. Statistics tell us it takes 8 times to unlearn something, to reteach something if we learn it incorrectly. Youch. So it's better to learn something correctly the first time than to have to take 8 corrections to relearn it the right way. Can you imagine that? Now think if there was somebody that had a learning disability on top of that. Wow. Now think about the low tolerance people have now. Think about if they learn something wrong about Jesus and where they're learning it today. James was talking about that. James had spent the first couple chapters making sure people were really understanding Jesus' words and who Jesus is and where they're getting their right information from. And remember, he's speaking to all of these people that have gone out from Jerusalem and in the diaspora. They've dispersed because of the fall of Jerusalem, the fall of Israel, because of the Roman Empire. And so people who were Jewish, the tribes, they're all over the place now, all through the Roman Empire. And they're living amongst the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are the fastest growing group of Christians out there right now. And so the Gentiles who are coming from pagan religions, pagan groups who knew nothing about Judaism, they're the ones who need taught the most. Well, I want you to think about this, folks. Who are the fastest group of people now who are not Christians out there? Remember, under half of the United States call themselves a Christian now. Only 47% of the United States call themselves a Christian. Less in Europe and Australia. All right. So it's imperative that we know. And when we share something from the Bible, it's imperative that we know our scripture. It's imperative that we share accurately. And the thing is, if you watch Hollywood, people are getting the gospel from Hollywood now, and there's a lot of incorrectness coming from Hollywood. And their tongues surely aren't bridled. And let me tell you this, too. There's a lot coming from politics as well. I'm hearing incorrect scripture. I'm hearing scripture quoted from both sides, Democrats and Republicans. And the contextualization coming from both, I'm hearing some of it correct, used correctly. But I'm hearing a lot of stuff used incorrectly too. I heard somebody say the other day, last Sunday was another attempt on former President Trump's life. That God must have protected President Trump again. Well, if God protected President Trump, then why didn't God protect the man that was shot and killed? And the people that were shot last night in a nightclub down south, why didn't God protect them? No, folks. No. Evil is in this world. Trump was protected because the Secret Service did their job and got him down, and he just happened to bend at the right time. Know your scripture. That's why it's important. Know your Bible. That's why it's important. Now, I will say this also. All of these things that we have in Scripture, while we are to bridle our tongues and not use it for giving tongue lashings, that tongue can be used for other things too. It can be used for worship. It can be used to sing praises. It can be used to say hello. How are you doing today? It can be used to build someone else up. The muscles in the face, while a bridle might pull against the sides of the mouth, you know what? Sides of the mouth can go this way too. And you can give somebody a smile. I'd rather have wrinkles and lines from smiling than from this and looking mean and nasty, right? And walking around like the sun isn't ever going to shine again. Because I know where my hope is. The Bible tells me that too. And I know that that's where James' hope was. James' hope was in his Lord and Savior. And while in the beginning he did not believe that his brother, his half-brother, was his Lord and Savior, by the time he wrote this letter, he sure knew then. So if you are available on Wednesday morning at 10:30, you are welcome to come to Bible study. Learn a little bit more about James and his wisdom that he shares with us. But use those wisdom muscles for good. Use those wisdom muscles the way God intended them to be used. Because while we are to bridle our tongues and control ourselves in ways not to harm, use them to do good. Use them to show the love of God through Jesus Christ. Because we've all been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we've all been given a gift, whether it be coming and weeding a garden outside or showing up and polishing a floor or painting a wall, loving on some kids, folding some paper, giving tithes and offerings. There's all kinds of ways to show love. But you've been called. Use unbridled love to do that. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today. And as I hear the joy of a child playing, I want that same kind of joy in each of our hearts. A joy in serving you, a joy in unbridled love, a joy of having faith in you and loving you and serving you. You are so good to us, Lord. Help us to lift each other up. Give us the words and the wisdom to be able to do that, as opposed to tear each other down. Wipe those thoughts of tearing each other apart out of our minds. There's already enough of that in the world. There was enough back when James was on earth, and there is enough now. What we're in short supply of is seeing you in the face of each and every person here. Open our eyes to see you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.